Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good evening, Philadelphia, and welcome into Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley, or just simply download that iHeartRadio app and you can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide. Broadcasting for myself, I'm Chris Sack from Green Legion Radio, host of Bud Light Baseball Brunch. I am broadcasting from Maple Shade, New Jersey, and unfortunately, again this week, I am without my co-host and co-pilot, Murph. Murph, we miss you dearly. I hope everything went well with your procedure this week. Murph's birthday is on Thursday. We're recording on Thursday for Friday night show from 8 to 9 time slot. Murph, happy birthday, brother. We miss you. Looking forward to having you back. Take your time getting back here. I'll keep the seat warm for you for sure. And this week is a special week because for the first time in the almost 2 years of this program, I am doing this show without Slash, without Quimby, without Murph. I am bringing in one of my brethren from the Green Legion Radio family. I'm bringing in the Unhappy Gilmore, who's out in Ohio. If you want to check him out, you can check him out on the Right on Cue show on Tuesday nights. Well, most Tuesday nights. I don't know what your new time slot's going to be with Quimby and Sam. But his show is also on the Green Legion YouTube channel, Facebook Live, and at Twitter, at Green Legion on Twitter, on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, Adam?
6 p.m., yes, sir.
6 p.m., and why don't you go ahead, promote your show a little bit here.
Yeah, we like to have a lot of fun. Baseball, football is the main wheelhouse, so right now is a great time of year. We're getting geared up and having a lot of fun and getting ready to take that trip out to Arizona in a couple of weeks, too. So looking forward to it, man. Happy to be here tonight, though.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you. I know he's a stock baseball fan just like I am. He loves the game, appreciates the game, and he's good for a rant or two, kind of like a sack attack that we have on this program and on Green Legion Radio. So great to have Adam here. And my brother from the Sunshine State down in Florida, looking forward to spending some time with you guys, with you and Ash. Rach and I are looking forward to going down again and hanging out with you guys in January. Definitely keep those seats warm for us down there. My boy, Luis Dominguez. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing great, man. Pleasure to be on, and love talking baseball always, so happy to be on.
Absolutely. And Lou is a diehard. Now, this is very rare, very, very, very rare. These people don't exist, as you can see when you see the Phillies play in, you know, South Florida, down in Miami. One of the rare diehard Miami sports fans you'll ever meet in your whole entire life. This guy wears the colors proudly, goes to all the games, all the events. Unfortunately, we're not going to have any Marlins talk on the show tonight. Maybe we'll sneak something in towards the end of the show where you can tell the story about how Sandy Alcantara, the lead right now, the odds on favorite in Vegas to win the National League Cy Young Award, was about to scoop up your future fiance.
That's right. Exactly. That's pretty much the only bright spot in this whole Marlins season. So we'll take it. Go Cy Young crazy.
All right, guys. Well, this first segment is brought to you by our good friends at State Farm. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Avuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Avuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call him at 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Or stop in his office over in Williamstown, New Jersey. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. I'm going to put these guys to the test here as we go out of the box. Again, no ticket giveaway this week. We're in the back end of the season. The Phillies only have 3 home games left down the stretch. And I honestly was thinking about trying to give away my preseason Flyers tickets, but nobody in their right mind outside of me would even think about going to that. And I'm not even going to it. So what the hell? So let's get out of the box right now as we talk about our fight in Phils. And this is going to be fun to talk about with you guys from being outside of the Philadelphia area and getting your context of what you see with the Phillies here down the stretch. The Phillies snapped a 5-game losing streak on Wednesday night in come-from-behind fashion with a 4-3 extra-inning win against the Blue Jays. Kept them up 2.5 on the Brewers. And the Padres lost on Thursday. So, again, we're recording this show on Thursday evening. Right now, the Phillies are playing. The Phillies are leading. So are the Brewers in Cincinnati. But as of right now, as of this recording, the Phillies are 1 game behind the Padres, who lost on Thursday to the Cardinals and for the second wild card spot. And then, again, we're still in control of our own destiny. The magic number is now 11. With the Brewers, but the Phillies hold on to win tonight, or if the Reds come back to win, that number can change. The Phillies can knock that down to 10 with a W tonight against the Braves. So, guys, I want to start this out here just talking about that win. If you guys have seen it from Wednesday night, it was paramount. Kept them 2.5 ahead of the Brewers as we head into a crucial 4-game set against the Braves. We're still trying to take first place in the National League East from the Mets, which is going to equate to a bye for them instead of having to play in the wild card round. And the Brewers have a 4-game set against the Reds, which if it was 1.5 going into this series right here where the lead was, I would feel very uncomfortable right now. But the fact that the Phillies kept it at 2.5 and kept the Brewers somewhat at bay here going into this weekend where we have four against, the defending World Series champs, and they have four against one of the doormats of the league. I think the Phillies are going in pretty comfortable. As long as they can split the series with the Braves this weekend, anything else that happens in Cincinnati is kind of a bonus if Cincinnati can handle the Brewers for us. What do you think, Lou?
I think the troubling thing is you talked about it, that this is going to be the last homestand for the Phils, and then you're on the road for the last three. Meanwhile, the Brewers are facing, you mentioned Cincinnati now, and then they got the Marlins, they got a 2-game set with the Cardinals, and then they finish with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So those are, besides the Cardinals, and it's only a 2-game series, those are not, world beater opponents. So the Phillies pretty much got to do their job here because the Brewers are in the rearview mirror.
Adam.
Yeah, I think it's tough that you have your final 10 on the road. I think that's a tough draw. But, if you can split this weekend, so you're going to get your last 10 on the road, but it's 3 at the Cubs, 4 at the Nationals. Your last 3 are in Houston, but by that point, Houston's likely to have the American League all sewn up, and they're going to be looking to just stay healthy, get their pitching staff in order. So while it stinks to be 10 on the road to finish your year, these are teams that you're going to be better than when you're playing them. Milwaukee might look like an easier road for them, but I think the Phillies are perfectly capable. I do think you got to get more out of Bryce Harper, though. Since September 1st, this man is 10 for 61 with 2 home runs.
Yeah,
it's time for Harper to flip the switch.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him in a few minutes. Lou, you had something else to add?
So, interestingly enough, this year with the format change, and now Houston's going to get that bye. So those last 3 games, they might not be sitting guys because they're already going to be sitting out, 4 days. So
6.
So the Houston might be playing their guys just to keep them fresh because they're already going to get some rest.
Yeah, there's a six-day gap between the end and I think the start of the division series. So, that's a good point. It's all going to be a matter of how it's touch and go how you feel with the team at that point. I mean, a guy like Verlander probably can't hurt him to have a little bit of extra rest that, he's been around for a while. But that team's loaded with veterans. They know how to win. It makes me sick to my stomach, and I'm throwing up to the top of my neck having to say it. But they know how to win, man. Cheating or not, they know how to win games.
Yeah, I think what they've proven over the last couple of years is that they still can win games minus the banging the trash cans and stealing signs. That's a good team, and they've had young players that have come up along the way to help them out too. But if you look at it, I agree with you guys. For me, the season comes down to this series with the Braves. These 4 games right here, if you can split this series 2-2, you have to go 2-2. You can't go 1-3. You can't get swept this 4-game series because, as you said, everything kind of lines up for them towards the back of the season. Yes, they were swept by the Cubs here coming out of the All-Star break, but that was kind of a blip in the radar for where the Phillies have really been over the last few months. The Cubs have played well here down the stretch, even though they're not playing for anything. And the Phillies have handled the Nationals this season. And keep in mind, too, this wouldn't have happened. This 10-game road trip to end the season would not have happened if Major League Baseball would have started on time. If they didn't have the lockout the way it was and they had to push these games towards the back end of the schedule, that kind of hurts them. But also at the same time, think about it like this. If this team is serious about making the playoffs and getting into the postseason, they're obviously going to start out the next series. They're going to start out that wild card series on the road. The Phillies, when they leave here after the Atlanta game on Sunday, they better have their bags packed for 2.5 weeks because you better be prepared for the simple fact that you might be having to play that 3-game wild card series. And after that's over, guess what? You're going to start the next series against the Dodgers Mets or the Braves, and you're going to start there for the first 2 games. This is crucial right now for the Phillies. This series, this weekend, to me, is the season. You come out of it 2-2 or 3-1, they're not going to sweep the Braves this weekend. But if you can maintain and hold water against the defending World Series champions, I have a lot of faith and belief in what they can do. And remember, if they win tonight, they hold on to win tonight. That shaves it down to 10. That's any combination of Phillies wins and Milwaukee losses. That right there is a very friendly, manageable magic number for the Phillies to maintain if they can shave just a little bit off at a time. We'll see how it goes. But a promising thing that we saw on Wednesday, gentlemen, was the return of Zach Wheeler. And Wheeler coming in was only supposed to pitch 2 to 3 innings. They had Noah Syndergaard warming up in the bullpen in the third inning to come in, but they sat him back down because Wheeler went out and pitched a fourth inning. 4 scoreless innings of work after missing the last month with the right forearm tendonitis he was dealing with, which took him out of the rotation for 2 weeks longer than they had expected. First 5 pitches were all 98 miles per hour or harder. He had thrown only 16 such pitches out of his 2,161 pitches he had thrown this season prior to being on the injured list, according to Matt Gelb of The Athletic. 2 hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts on 58 pitches. Bodes well for his next start at Wrigley Field, if you ask me, Adam.
Yeah, well, 58 pitches, 38 strikes, so in the strike zone. You know, he's your ace. He's your guy that in his starts, you're 13-8. He was 11-5 with a 2.63 before he got, you know, knocked around by the Mets a couple of times. And then you find out he had the tendonitis, so he goes on the injured list, right? So, the other thing I think, especially if you're going to play in some smaller ballparks, right, where the ball's going to fly out. I mean, I only had 2 fly outs on Wednesday night, 9 ground balls to go along with the 3 strikeouts. So I think that's big, too. Getting him back, getting him, you know, you only got a short amount of time to get him ready to take on 5 or 6 innings. But the fact that he went 4 right out of the gates, that's huge.
Absolutely. What's your thought on Zach Wheeler there?
No, it's obviously huge. He went 4 innings, and the fact that, you know, he's back, as Adam mentioned, he had 2 rough starts prior to going on the IL. But, you know, the fact that he went 4, yeah, that's what you need out of him. You need to stretch him out, and the key is you got 2 closers back there. You got to have your starters go deep in the games. You know, Ranger, Kyle, Zach, they got to go deep in the games. Aaron Nola also is falling off here a little bit. So you got to get your starters to go deep in games and give it over to your bullpen.
Yeah, the sad part, and this was actually my next part on here, you have to kind of be worried about Sir Anthony Dominguez, your cousin, Lewis, since he's returned from the injured list. According to MLB.com's Todd Zalecki, Phillies beat writer, he had allowed only 8 runs in his first 48 appearances this season. He's now allowed 8 in his last 2. Need to get him back on track to solidify the back end of that bullpen along with Jose Alvarado and David Robertson. I know you're quite familiar with David Robertson out there, being a Yankees fan. You know, his stuff hasn't been as crisp over the last few weeks. I think the Phillies were relying on him too much while Sir Anthony was out. There was times where Rob Thomson was trying to stretch him, you know, through 2 innings. At this point in his career, at this age, he's 37 years old. And I hate saying that because I know how old Lewis is. I know I'm almost 37. You know, Adam, you have older kids than me, so I'm going to say you're older than me. But, you know, it sucks that we're sitting here going, damn, he's old at 37. Yeah, right? but at the same time, like, they need Sir Anthony Dominguez to return to form. It's not his stuff. He's hitting upper 90s. There's not a problem with that. What's hurting him right now is his control issues.
Yeah. So he's not locating. He's just not locating the ball right. You know, he's all over the place. Robertson, look, yeah, plenty of it. 2 stints with New York. If you try to extend him, and this goes back to even when he was younger, if you try to extend him too much, he is going to. Yeah, you guys remember John Wetland?
Yes.
Where everything at the end of his career, everything turned into an adventure. You know, as great as he was. There was a walk. There was a double. You know, it was second and third with 2 outs and three and two count when you finally get the save. Robertson is going to put you through a series of, you know, mini heart attacks every time he takes the mound if you end up having to overextend him too much. And I think you guys found that out already.
Yeah.
That curveball can be nasty, but if he's got to be out there for too long, that snapper doesn't have as much snap to it.
Yeah, his the four-pitch walks that he has, the leadoff walks, man, the leadoff walks kill you. You can't do that. Lou.
Well, I'll just say this, though. They're two proven closers, though. And, you know, in down the stretch and when you get to the postseason, you could rely on two guys that have proven they can do it. You're not just all of a sudden going to bench your closer. Don't throw him out there. I'll give you a good example, and I will throw in a little Marlins twist into it. 2003, Marlins traded for Ugas Urbina, and they had Braden Looper as their set closer. And what Jeff McKeon did is he swapped them. You know, whoever had the hot hand, and it worked. They won the World Series. So, you know, it's one of those where you have two guys that know the job, and if one's not working, you go to the other guy. And, you know, that's something that you can rely on, dumb stretch.
Ugas Urbina, I always knew you had a machete, Lou.
Not when Urbina's around.
That's probably what you use to shave that beard with, you know?
Exactly.
All right, so I know Adam kind of brought it up a little bit earlier, and, you know, I know I have a little bit of concern on my end about Bryce Harper. See if you guys have any concerns about him. He just doesn't look right at the plate right now, like he's lacking confidence in himself. And these are some of the numbers that he had through the early portion of the season. Batted 253 in April. He was 347 with a 1.078 OPS in May. 359 with a 1.095 OPS in June. 381 with a 976 OPS in six games in August. But he's slashing through this month so far in 16 games. 164, 261, 312 for a 572 OPS. Only two home runs and five RBIs in 16 games. 0-for-5 with five runners left on base and two strikeouts in Wednesday night's game. Man, I'm starting to get a little concerned because the kids, as we call them here, the daycare, the kids in the back end of that lineup are performing. It's the big money guys outside of JT Realmuto. JT has performed.
Yes.
I mean, he's a bona fide MVP candidate. He's going to wind up being top 10 in voting when it's all said and done. But Schwarber, Hoskins, and Hoskins is even one of the big money guys, but Hoskins is a big name here.
A big name for you guys. Yeah.
And Bryce Harper. Castellanos, yeah, we're waiting for him to still come back. But those guys, they have to get going, because if they get going, when the guys in the back end of the lineups, like the Matt Vierlings and the Bryson Stotts and the Nick Maytons and the Gene Seguras, even though he's a big money guy, he's been playing well too. When those guys get on base, you need the lineup to turn back over, and you need to drive them in with the big money guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Harper's your MVP, right? He's the centerpiece. He's the one that's going to make that lineup turn over. He's the one that's going to make that lineup go. If you're going to have any kind of, you know, shot at pushing your way into a run in the postseason, he's got to be there, and he's got to be able to deliver. Even if it's just his presence, where he's hitting well enough that, you know, the pitchers are afraid and need to walk him. There's just another guy on base. Somebody else is going to see a fastball. If he's not going well, your lineup's going to have trouble. I think you've seen that. I mean, that's just kind of what's happening right now. Don't look at Schwarber for contact or batting average. It's not who he is. You know, he's I think he's an easier guy to root for than Joey Gallo, but, like, you know, the batting average isn't his deal.
No, he's a career 230, 235 hitter, yeah. And he's only batting like 215 this year.
Right. He's not going to make a whole hell of a lot of contact, but when he does run into it, my God, it's got to be Harper. You know,
I think Bryce is just, you know, doing a little too much right now. He's also, you know, throughout his whole career, is a walking machine. He's got to wait for his pitches, get on base. You know, it'll work itself out. But he's forcing the issue too much right now. He's just got to, you know, do what he does best. See good pitches, take what he gets. If not, take your walk.
Zach, are you worried at all that there's lingering injury problem with him?
I think so. Also, at the same time, it's pretty hard when you miss 2 months of a baseball season and then you come back in the thick of a pennant race and you have to all of a sudden kind of pick back up. And we all thought with those two games that he had down in AAA, and then, you know, when he had the bases loaded situation and his first at bat when he came back, and everyone's like, oh man, like, you know, we tend to realize, or we fail to realize sometimes, is how hard of a game this is. Right. And when mentally you're not right, you could tell it at the plate, but I don't know if physically he's right. I don't know if he's a little bit nicked up, banged up. I don't think it's the thumb, but sometimes when you're not going right and you know you're the big money guy and you're the MVP, it's really tough to try and scrape yourself off the ground. That's what the guys at the back end of the lineup are doing right now. But if this team has any hopes of A, getting to the postseason, and then B, making noise when you get there. Bryce Harper needs to be Bryce Harper. He needs to be MV3. But you know who's the MV3 of the city of Philadelphia? It's none other than our friends at Premier Window Cleaning, because they're the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and its surrounding areas. They have over 30 years experience. They offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. Coming up on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit about Matty V, Matt Vierling, and the performance that he had on Wednesday evening. We're going to dive into the MLB playoffs, and we're going to talk about the historical season of all rise, Aaron Judge, right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Welcome back here for our second segment on this Friday evening of Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour. I'm joined here by the unhappy Gilmore out in Ohio and Luis Dominguez down in South Florida. Murph, again, is not here with us. We're hoping to have him back over the next week or two before the end of the season. But nonetheless, we push on. Murph, prayers up for your brother. And happy birthday. Again, Murph's birthday was on Thursday. If you haven't yet, give my man a shout-out on Twitter. I know he would enjoy hearing from you guys. But when I think about Murph, it takes me back to July 23rd when we were hanging out down at the Ludlum Bar and Grill at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Listen, it's no longer summer here. We're going to be in the 60s next week, but that doesn't mean that you can't get down to the shore still and hang out with our friends at the Ludlum Bar and Grill. It is a phenomenal place, a lot of fun. Please get the La Costa lemonade. Holy crap. It is unbelievable. It is so delicious, and you'll be leaving with quite a buzz just from drinking it. They also offer their guests. The hotel is open year-round. All guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags for all registered adults. Again, you don't need them right now, but you will next summer. Walking distance to everything. Check out ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill and hotel, your new oasis in Seattle City. All right. So, Matt Vierling, what a night my guy had on Wednesday night. 5 for 5, okay, including a walk-off hit to cap off the 5 for 5 night. First Philly to do that since Milt Thompson back in 1987, to have 5 or more hits in a game and have the walk-off hit. Incredible performance by him. And, guys, Here's a nugget for you, okay? This is courtesy of Elias Sports Bureau, okay? Because JT Realmuto went 5 for 5 on Tuesday night against the Blue Jays. Matt Vierling went 5 for 5 on Wednesday night against the Blue Jays. That's the first time since at least 1900 that the Phillies had two players go 5 for 5 or better in consecutive games. Incredible stat. Here's the last time it happened in Major League Baseball. Before I go ahead and I divulge, do either of you guys want to take a guess?
I don't even want to fathom when the hell that happened.
September 2004, Ichiro went 5 for 5. The following night, Raul Ibanez, our good friend, went 6 for 6.
Wow.
Incredible, jeez. Right?
That's crazy.
But that's part, you know, Matt Vierling, part of the daycare here with Nick Maton and Bryson Stott and the kids, Alec Bohm. The kids have come to perform this year. For those of you that follow the Phillies and those of you that follow the Phillies from afar, our minor league system has been much maligned over recent years. It's been a big reason why those twilight years with Howard and Utley and Rollins and Hamels, a big reason why we couldn't sustain that run was because, you know, we didn't have the pieces coming up through the minor league system. And Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail couldn't do anything to really replenish it after we fired Ruben Amaro Jr. And you know, they've been fired. But seeing these kids coming up right now, and then if you guys hadn't heard about Andrew Painter, the 19-year-old phenom that we have down in the minor leagues right now, who doesn't turn 20 until April of next year, who's already in Double-A, who will probably start out next season in Double-A, but very quickly work his way up to the major league roster. Couldn't tell you the last time the Phillies had a 20-year-old on the roster. It's insane to think about, but the minor league system is starting to bear some fruits of its labor. And, I know a lot of people aren't fans of Dave Dombrowski, but what he's done here the last couple of years is he's taken over the reins is really add to the farm system and help us out with our major league roster.
So when did this guy, did he like start going to church? Was he like baptized again as like a born again? Cause this dude never created a farm system, never did anything with a bullpen, right? And now here he is in Philadelphia and he's exercised both of those demons. I think it's awesome that you have that, you know, the nursery or the daycare or whatever you want to call it. You know, I've used this on Wednesday nights before, as far as like, and I hate it again, throw up to here at Boston Red Sox. You're making commitments to the young kids knowing that there's going to be growing pains, right? You're going to deal with some struggles. They're not going to be all-stars right out of the gate. And you just say, get out there, kid, and go figure out, go learn how to play this position. Go learn how to do this job, and look at what pays. Look at the payoff. The Red Sox with Mookie Betts, and now Bogarts and Devers, and I think you guys are about to do the same exact. You're doing the same exact thing as they were doing. So it's. I think it's impressive when a team makes that kind of commitment to the
union. Agreed. Also, with the DH now in the National League, it just gives you an opportunity to put another bat in the lineup. So you know all these young kids coming up, or I'm just saying, it gives you an opportunity now to you know get more people in there instead
get
of
off my lawn.
I'm just saying, man.
Well, I know. Listen, I know we're talking about, you know, the new rules with the DH and all that stuff. Let's talk about the Major League Baseball playoff race here. A little disappointed because there's a lot of teams that are already eliminated and that are going to be eliminated real quick here. There's not much to the races. I mean, there's Atlanta and New York that, you know, and the Mets that are going for the National League East. The Phillies, the Padres, the Brewers are fighting for two spots with three teams in that. Then you look over at the AL East. I don't believe that Toronto or Tampa have a shot at catching the Yankees at this point in the season with how many games they are back. And then you look at, you know, they're battling for the 4 or 5. Who's going to have the home field in that round? Is it going to be Tampa? Is it going to be Toronto? I think Tampa was winning earlier, because we're recording on Thursday night. They were winning, which is going to put them one behind the Blue Jays. And then, you know, Seattle's been an exciting team, but, you know, the Orioles fell off, so there's not really like much of a race there. But if you're looking at it from like a pure baseball fan standpoint, though, I want to get you guys' opinion on what you guys think about the new playoff bracket. Adam, so please give me yours first.
It's been 11 years for the Phillies.
11 years.
Okay, so you know, and if we had a Seattle fan on here, I would ask.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about it a lot on social media or anything. I don't know. Like if you follow me on Facebook, I don't even talk about it.
No, never.
I never bring it up. I don't even know. It's been 11 years. I had no idea.
I mean, Lou, could you tell I did that on purpose?
Yeah.
Totally. So, but again, I would ask a Seattle fan the same question. If things stay as they are right now, and you know the season was to end right now, you've waited this long for a postseason berth, and you're not going to get a home game unless you get through the first series. I think that. I mean, look, I kind of understand what they're trying to do, but I don't – if it was the number one seed playing the number six seed, I could understand it more. But when we're talking about a 4-5 matchup or a 3-6 matchup, the fact that the lower seed is not going to get any home game, I have a problem. I'm sorry. I don't like that format at all. And a lot of it is because of, you know, a team like the Phillies who've had an exciting, you know, run to get to where you're at and about to knock on the door to get in. You know, Seattle's not been in the postseason in quite some time. And they're not, you know, there's a chance even if you get into the postseason that you won't be able to enjoy it at your own ballpark.
Lou?
Agreed. Adam stole my thunder. Agree with him 100%. You need to have a home playoff game. You play 100, you know, 81 home games, 162 overall. You got to get one playoff game at the very least. So that's my take on that. My bigger disappointment with the system is I thought there'd be a lot more teams on the outside looking in. And if you look at each league, Milwaukee is the only team that has a shot pretty much to get into the field And in the AL, Baltimore is 4.5 out. That's not really a shot, but they're the only team that has a chance in that in the American League. So I thought there'd be a lot more teams jockeying for position to try and sneak in, and you just don't have that. You got pretty much two teams that are one team in each league trying to get into this mix right now.
See, I understand. I'm right there with you, Lou. I understand your situation too, Adam. Like, is that Judge?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm on a little bit of a delay too because I stream. So if you guys are watching it,
I'm not watching it. Please, so you're good. You're good. No worries. Now, I agree with you, Adam. Like, it disappoints me as a Phillies fan because I would love to be able to catch a game here in the wild card round if that's where it winds up going. And, you know, the Phillies wind up making the playoffs. And I've said all along, and, like, my wife was pricing out flights to St. Louis today, and she's like, this is unreal. Like, we got to spend this much money to fly out on a Friday to St. Louis and fly home on a Saturday? Like, we're going to be there for, like, less than 24 hours. I don't care. Like, I said it when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. You know, like, the last time that a Philly team had won was 10 years prior. So if I go out and I spend $300 on, you know, like, T-shirts and hats and you know, shot glasses and all that crap, like, that's $30 a year that I haven't spent on being a champion. And damn it, I'm going to be a champion. And it's the same thing with this. Like, you want to complain about $1,200 for round-trip airfare for that? I don't care. I do not care. For me, it's a matter of getting the building. And tickets are cheap in St. Louis, by the way. So, you know, I was like, get a cheap hotel, get cheap tickets to the game, spend my money on airfare and beer and get myself in the stadium. But I would love to have it back at the bank. I think that's the reason why the Phillies are struggling with attendance this month of the season. Because a lot of people have been waiting for the Phillies to hit this stretch to where they're starting to look like they're going to choke. And lo and behold, they lose five games in a row heading into a big six-game homestand. And then on top of it, like, what's the payoff? What is the payoff? Like, the Phillies haven't broken out the rally towels and all that stuff yet. Like, nothing. For what? 22,000 fans to show up for a half-empty ballpark? No, it's a bunch of crap. Like, yes, I want it here at the bank too, but at the end of the day, I don't give a damn. Get in there, no matter how hard it is to get in, do whatever it takes to get in there. And I'll tell you what, it puts a premium. It gives a reward to the team that wins the third division because they're not going to get the bye. And it also puts a premium on being that top wild card spot. You want to have home playoff games? A, win your division. Or you better be the top wild card spot.
Be the top wild card. Yep.
Yeah, because think about it. The previous format too was five teams. Now you had a one game wild card playoff to get in, and did you get a home game in that one game wild card? No, you didn't. It was a roll of the dice. It was a 50-50 shot for you to win that game to begin with. Now at least you have three games in a format with the Phillies having Wheeler, Nola, and either Ranger Suarez or Bailey Falter going in a game. The Phillies have a shot. They have a chance. But we'll see. You got to get there first, and that's the important thing. But I want to get your feel here. Hold on. We talked about the Major League Baseball playoffs. We have 3 minutes left in the segment. I need to talk about Aaron Judge. Is he batting right now? Is he still batting? What has he done?
They walked him for the third time tonight.
I know, I saw that. But
so I've been. If you follow me on Facebook, you've seen my posts every time they've walked him. I have a nice little phrase for your Boston pitchers.
But if you think about it, there's still people out there that are trying to pitch the idea that Ohtani is the most valuable player in the American League.
He's not.
Adam, take the floor.
He is not. Look,
no way.
Shohei Ohtani might be the most talented player in baseball, okay? When you look at it just from a tools perspective, right? Because he can pitch too. But when you have a guy, who is blowing away everyone with the offensive season that he's having, Aaron Judge doesn't just lead these offensive categories. He leads them by an enormous margin, right? Schwarber is, what, second in all of baseball with home runs? He's 20 behind Aaron Judge. First in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, run score, total bases, home runs, RBIs, extra base hits.
He's vying for a triple crown.
And right. He's vying for a triple crown coming into tonight. He was tied with Xander Bogaerts for the American League lead in batting average. Okay? If you want to give the MVP to Ohtani, you do it in a season when there's not a clear-cut guy. Because, look, the Angels stink.
Like last year.
The Angels are bad they stink with or without Ohtani. Without Aaron Judge, the Yankees are not only not leading the American League East, they're fledgling along in the wild card race right now. it's to me, the only question to me is whether or not it's unanimous.
Well, I don't think it's going to be unanimous because you know there's going to be some schmo in Boston that's probably going to vote for Ohtani, and there's going to be some schmo out in L.A. that actually thinks that he's worth a damn that's probably going to vote for Ohtani.
Oh, by the way, for the people who like to say Judge only thrives it because he plays in Yankee Stadium, home and away splits, 321 plate appearances as home, 317 average, 30 homers, 60 RBIs, 411 on base percentage, 694 slugging, 1104 OPS. Away? 320 plate appearances, 317 batting average, 30 home runs, 68 RBIs, 431 on base percentage, 718 slugging, 1148 OPS.
Almost identical.
He also played 75 games in center field, 52 in right field, and hasn't made a freaking error all year.
Incredible.
Lou?
And the most valuable player.
Lou, you have a quick add-on?
He's on a roll on that. I can't touch that. I will say, who was the last Triple Crown winner? Was it Miggy?
It was Miggy. Okay. And before him was Carl Yastrzemski.
In 67.
Right. Yeah. And what year was Miggy?
12 or 13.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was 13. I think it was 13.
9, 10 years, right? So, I mean, this never happens. I mean,
this would be the second time since 1967.
And I don't think, has anybody ever hit the, I mean, like, I don't think anybody's ever hit for, like, Babe Ruth, maybe, like, years ago, where he hit 60 home runs and he won the Triple Crown. I don't know what the numbers are behind that, but, I mean, no one's ever won the Triple Crown and set the American League record in home runs.
That's never happened.
I'll tell you, when Miggy did it, he didn't have anywhere near 60 home runs. He was late 30s, early 40s home run hitter. So, yeah, this is just a historic season, and it should be unanimous.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's take this to break here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, Bud Light Baseball Brunch. I'm joined by Adam Gilmore, Luis Dominguez, two guys that know their stuff with baseball. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio. We're going to head to break right now here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Welcome back for our last segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour on this Friday evening. Probably watching the Phillies Braves game as you listen to us talk about how the Phillies may or may not make the playoffs. But it's all in good fun because right now, as of right now, while we're recording on Thursday night, the Phillies are up 1-0. Hopefully they can tack on another insurance run or two as they get more action out of the bullpen here later in the game because the Brewers are handling their business in Cincinnati against the Reds. But nonetheless, Chris Sack, Green Legion Radio, Bud Light Baseball Brunch. And this upcoming Sunday, we're going to be on our way down to Washington, D.C. to see the Eagles face the Commodes. Quimby and myself will be doing the pregame show live from the bus on the I-95 corridor going down to Washington, D.C. from 9:30 to 10:30 on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Download the iHeartRadio app and check us out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We had a great show last year on the way down there. If you want to talk about this year, January 2nd of this year when we went down last. But we're going down there with one mission and one mission only, to win the game. I don't care about Carson Wentz. I appreciate what he did in 2017, but nonetheless, I do not care about anything other than coming back home with a W. Now, as I promote that show, I'm going to give an opportunity to Lou to promote his girlfriend Ashley's, her podcast, her show down there, and the 305 Sports Babe.
Yeah, thank you. So it's 305 Sports Babe. Her name of her show is Bad Calls, Brawls, and Balls. It was a pretty funny take on all sports. We primarily focus on Miami sports, but we also talk about the major events going on. So we'll definitely be doing a baseball preview postseason show. Getting ready for NHL, NBA, and of course the football season going on. So that's Ashley Nataliana, 305 Sports Babe, Bad Calls, Brawls, and Balls. And it's kind of like it's her show. I co-host it, kind of like a Beauty and Beast thing. I'll let you guess who the beauty and who the beast is.
Come on, be modest. Be modest.
So, come on and check it out sometime.
What night and time are you guys doing?
So, right now during football season, we're doing Wednesday nights at 8:30.
Wednesday nights, 8:30. Sounds great. And Adam, go ahead. Please promote your shows.
Yeah, so the Unhappy Gilmore Show will keep you entertained right up to for the first part of Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. every Wednesday night, part of the Green Legion Radio family. I stick mostly to baseball and football. We'll get into a little hockey and basketball when that starts up. Basketball for me is going to be mostly college ball, though. Great time of year, playoffs coming up for baseball and football, just starting to get in the swing of things. I'm with Chris. the number one thing coming home from Washington with a win, but I want the head of Carson Wentz as well. So we'll see how that goes.
Sounds great, guys. Appreciate you guys joining me again. It's been a great show, but a lot of fun having you guys on. And I might have to call upon Adam to join me again next week, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I'll see how Murph is feeling for sure. But now let's go ahead for my Friday night picks here. Last week I went 1-2. I've had a great season overall, 32-25 with 42 points this season. I'm handling Murph, completely this season. He has no shot, no prayer of coming back. Nor did he before all this stuff happened the last couple weeks, because, at the end of the day, Murph can't keep up with me. It's just how it goes. I went 1-2 last week as I hit the under 9.5 Royals Red Sox. It was a 2-1 Red Sox W. I lost my underdog Diamondbacks over the Padres, and the White Sox were my favorite. They lost to the Tigers last week. So let's try this again. All right, my over-under for Friday night is 7.5, over 7.5, Red Sox, Yankees. The Sox always seem to hit Gerrit Cole well. Lefty Rich Hill is pitching for the Red Sox. I just think that the Yankees and their bats are starting to find themselves now. Runs will be scored in the Bronx, and that over 7.5 all day long on that one. Please cash me that ticket. Astros minus 150 at Camden Yards versus the Orioles. They're 9-1 in their last 10. The Orioles are 4-6 in their last 10. This is a good number to get the Astros at. You normally don't see them at a low number like minus 150. Go ahead and add that to your ticket. And my underdog for that night will be the Diamondbacks at plus 185 versus the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. I like Zach Gallen, local kid here. He is a heck of a pitcher. I just think for one night and one night only, that's a good number to get Zach Gallen at, to tame that lineup for a night against Julio Urias. So make sure you guys get over 7.5 Red Sox, Yankees, Astros minus 150 against the Orioles, and the Diamondbacks plus 185 versus the Dodgers. All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead. Let's do some Can You Believe It? I'm going to start off with Adam. Give me your first one.
So I took a look at, baseball history on this date just to see if there was anything fun. This one was interesting to me. In 1920, Chicago grand jury convenes to investigate, the Black Sox scandal from the 1919 series. 39 years later, on the same date, the Chi Sox win their first pennant since that 1919 team. A little odd, but I thought it was, 40 years earlier, they're getting thrown in jail, and now they're winning a pennant.
Good stuff. I like that. I'm going to stick with the Yankees on this one. The Yankees are the first team in Major League Baseball history to end a game with a grand slam and then hit another grand slam in the first inning of the next game, which they did in back-to-back days. That game, the walk-off grand slam, Judge just hit number 60, and I left the bar because we just got done doing the player show. So I left the casino and I drove home, and then I looked at my phone and it said, it had you guys winning it. I was like, oh, standing in a grand slam. But that's courtesy of Katie Sharp. Give me your second one, Adam.
So this one's Yankees related too. I thought this was funny. 1985, September 22nd, 1985. One night after a drunken bar fight in Baltimore hotel, Billy Martin has his right arm broken by pitcher Ed Whitson in the same bar. God bless Billy Martin.
Yes. Yeah. Who leads it all time of being fired by George Steinbrenner.
Right, and bar fights.
Yes. I'm going to go with, I hate saying anything Mets or giving them credit for anything, but this is a two-for-one special because the Mets tied a Major League Baseball record for strikeouts in a 9-inning game with a combined 20 strikeouts from Jacob deGrom, Seth Lugo, Joely Rodriguez, and Trevor May. But on top of that, Jacob deGrom in that game, 40 straight starts with 3 earned runs or less. It's a Major League Baseball record since 1913 when earned runs became official. When Jacob deGrom, I hate the Mets, and I'm born and bred to hate Jacob deGrom because he's a Met, but you got to show appreciation for the all-time greats. If that guy did not get hurt as frequently as he has the last couple years, the truly special numbers that he would put up, the Cy Young Awards that he would win year in and year out, it kind of harkens me back to looking at Tim Lincecum and his career arc. It was two Cy Youngs and then, a couple World Series, and then he flamed out. He's never going to have a shot at getting the Hall of Fame, but if that guy was able to stretch his career for a decade. You first ballot Hall of Famer all day long. You kind of look at DeGrom in that same context, except he's been able to get a little bit more out of his career than Lincecum did, just because he's bigger stature, doesn't have to put as much physical stress on his body like Lincecum did with his small frame. But it's special what you're watching every single time Jacob DeGrom pitches.
I'm going to use the Derek Jeter line from his from that documentary, The Captain. Like, we didn't hate the Mets. They were just the
there.
Mets.
Yeah.
They were just the Mets. DeGrom, I agree with you. DeGrom's been unbelievable. I think if he would – yeah, I think he tends to overthrow, though. As much as he doesn't need to put the stress on his body because he is a bigger guy, feels like he kind of still does, and that's what ends up putting him on a disabled list. And it is a shame because he's special.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's do some parting shots here. Let's make it quick. 30 seconds, Lou, 30 seconds, Adam, and we're going to take this show out in the road.
Go ahead, Lou. How about it?
Thanks for having me on. Tremendous show. Looking forward to the last couple weeks of baseball season and heading into the postseason.
Adam?
Yeah, same. Having a good time here. This has been a great night. Thank you for having me on. Thanks for letting me plug my show on Wednesday nights, too. I am not enjoying the current Yankees-Red Sox game, but I'm hoping to enjoy the rest of the weekend. I want Judge to get those homers. Would love nothing more if he does it against Boston.
No doubt. Lou?
One more to come back here. Bigger number, Pujols getting to 700 or Aaron Judge and see what he finishes at this year. Well, what's a bigger story?
It's a common question.
Judge.
700 is huge.
700 is big, man.
It is, but – listen, think about it. I think there's more guys that have gone over 700 that have gone over 60 in a season. If you're looking at it from the kind, or it's the same amount of guys that have gone over 700 and have gone over 60. McGuire, Sosa, Maris. I'm talking over 60. Babe, over 60, right. and Bonds. So it's close. But for me, the single season ones matter more to me now. I just think home runs have kind of taken over, but it's still hard. It's so hard in one season to get to 60. Hank Aaron never even went over 50.
Right.
He was just consistent every single year. He stayed healthy. He was able to put his numbers up. I think
consistency.
Yeah. Breaking Roger Maris's home run record and thinking that the guy who's doing it is clean as compared to the other guys that passed him, that to me is special.
That's the difference right there I think baseball, as much as people like to tell you, oh, the record book states this with no asterisk, I think baseball itself has allowed us to make our own judgments, right? They've not really pushed that this is the record. You know, there's no argument about it. They've kind of left it open because they know it's 30.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, listen, the Phillies – We're going to wrap up this series here this upcoming weekend. We're going to be in Wrigley next week, and then we got a big four-game set because we have to handle our business next weekend in Washington. We will be recording next Thursday night again, not sure what time slot, leading into our show on Friday evening from 8 to 9 on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. But as soon as we know what time we're going to be on, we will let you guys know, and we'll let you know who will be joining me next Thursday as well. Let's go, Phillies. For the love of God, do not do this to me. Make this postseason. Let's get in there and let's see what happens for sure. I need this more than anything. But like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Friday evening with a drink, maybe a cigar, and some good Phillies baseball. And I will see you guys next week.